Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep on high detail effects movement control that actually works in advanced drum and bass. And I really want to stress that phrase, actually works, because a lot of transition effects sound impressive in solo, but the second the drop lands, everything feels smaller, blurrier, and less dangerous. The build was busy, but it didn't help the tune. Improper rolling DNB, jungle influenced stuff, darker bass music, the goal is not just to make things sweep upward. It's to control tension, momentum, width, darkness, and impact so the transition supports the groove and then gets out of the way at exactly the right moment. That's what we're building here. We're going to create a reusable FX movement rack in Ableton Live using stock devices, then automate it across an 8-bar pre-drop section at 174 BPM. The result will be the transition with a living noise riser, growing reverb density, a proper pre-drop vacuum effect, a controlled downlift into the drop, and subtle atmospheric movement that adds pressure without masking the drums and bass. And one of the biggest ideas in this whole lesson is this: don't automate 20 unrelated parameters directly. Build macro-based movement zones instead. Think in musical dimensions: tone, bass, width, motion, intensity, and a kill switch for the drop. That's how you get detail without chaos. Also, here's an advanced mindset shift before we start. Don't think only in automation lanes. Think in control lanes. You've got your macro shape, which is the big curve across the bars. Then micro accents, which are the little moves around fills and phrase endings. And then safety control, which is your damage control layer. Gain, ducking, mono checks, harshness control, width reduction. A lot of producers do the first part and ignore the last two. That's why their transitions feel exciting for 4 seconds and exhausting after that. So let's build this properly. First, we need the right source. High detail movement starts with source material that wants to move well. Indeed, NB. That usually means one of four categories: noise-based effects, tonal effects like synth risers or reversed pads, percussive effects like reversed snares and cymbal swells, or atmospheric material like drones, field recordings, and resampled bass ambience. For this walkthrough, let's start with a noise riser because it's flexible, mix-friendly, and doesn't fight your bass harmonics. Create a MIDI track and load operator. Set oscillator to white noise. Turn off the pitch envelope and keep the level sensible. You can also use a noise sample, vinyl hiss, or some resampled texture if that suits your tune better. Then create an 8-bar MIDI note or audio region leading into your drop. Noise works especially well in DNB because it handles filtering beautifully, creates tension without melodic confusion, and stays out of the way of your harmonic bass content if you treat it right. That's important. We want menace, not a giant synth announcing itself like an EDM festival sweep. Now let's build the FX chain. Put these devices on the source in this order: EQ8, Auto Filter, Saturator, Echo, Hybrid Reverb, Auto Pan, Utility, Compressor, and Limiter. Then group them into an audio effect rack. The order matters. We're shaping before we smear, and controlling after the movement happens. Let's dial in bass settings. On EQ8, high pass around 180 Hz with a 24 dB slope. If the noise is harsh, add a small dip around 2.5 kHz. If it feels too dull, a tiny high shelf above 8 kHz is fine, maybe 1 or 2 dB. The reason EQ comes first is simple. You do not want your riser chewing up low end or low mid headroom before the drop. Clean that up before the rest of the chain reacts to it. On auto filter, choose a low pass. Use the OSR or clean circuit. Set the starting frequency around 2.5 kHz, resonance around 20 to 35%, and drive around 2 to 5 dB. Leave the envelope off for now. In darker DNB, a low pass opening upward usually feels better than a high pass sweep because it stays ominous. It feels like a shape emerging out of fog instead of a big obvious whoosh. On saturator, try analog clip or soft sign. Push the drive around 2 to 6 dB, turn soft clip on, and then trim the output so the level matches roughly. This is important. Saturation helps the FX read on smaller systems and gives the movement density, but if you don't level match it, you'll think louder means better. Classic trap. Don't fall for it. On echo, start with 1/8 or 1/8 dotted timing, feedback around 15 to 30%, high pass around 500 Hz, low pass around 4.5 kHz, dry/wet around 8 to 12%, stereo on, modulation very light. In DNB, especially heavier stuff, delays work best when they're tucked and rhythm-aware. If the delay is the first thing you notice, it's probably too much unless that's the whole point of the section. On hybrid reverb, go dark. Dark hall works, or a plate plus convolution blend if you want something a little more textured. Set decay around 2.5 to 5.5 seconds, predelay around 10 to 25 milliseconds, low cut at 250 Hz, high cut somewhere between 5 and 7 kHz, and dry slash wet around 10 to 18%. We want space, not a giant bright wash that turns your buildup into a cloud. On autopan, use it mainly for subtle movement, not cartoon left-right wobble. If you want tremolo or gating, set phase to 0 degrees. If you want stereo motion, use 180 degrees. Start with 1/4 or 1/8 synced rate, and amount around 10 to 25%. A great trick is to let the autopan amount rise in the last two bars, and then snap it off at the drop. That contrast can really sell the arrival. On utility, start your width around 70 to 90%. Leave gain at 0 initially. Bass mono only if the source actually has meaningful low content. Utility is one of the most important devices in this whole workflow, because width automation often makes or breaks the transition. Then add light compression after the movement chain. This audio version is shortened for playback.